Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are now going to discuss about the person who is the central hero of the Mahabharata. Of course, all the five Pandavas are heroes, but among them, Arjuna is the central hero. His actions are described practically more than anyone else in the Mahabharata. He played the most pivotal role in the Kurukshetra war. And he was the most intimate friend of Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord. And it was to him that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So he is an extraordinary character. And we will be discussing about his life. Now, wherever the incidents about his life have been discussed in connection with other characters' incidents, then we will not to go into the detailed narration of those incidents. We will focus more on just analyzing them from his perspective, and then we'll move forward. So now the name Arjuna means spotless. So it is whose fame is spotless. It also means one who because of the spotless fame glows like silver. So Arjuna was also known as Krishna, and Draupadi was also known as Krishna, because Krishna also refers to the complexion, darkish complexion. So Arjuna had many names. One of his name was Falguni. So Falgun, because he was born when the star Falgun was there in the ascendant. And then one of his names was Jishnu. Jishnu means one who conquers over his enemies. Vishnu is all pervading. So Jishnu is one who is all defeating. So Krishna and Arjuna are Vishnu and Jishnu. And then, of course, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Jishnu is also used as the name of Lord Vishnu. But specifically in the Mahabharata, it is referring to Arjuna. The Supreme Lord is, in one sense, Sarvanamavan. So he can have all names. Another of his names is Kiriti. Now, Arjuna mentions all these names to the Uttar Kumar, Bhuminjay, in Matsya, when he goes out to fight with the Kura army towards the end of the incognito exile, we'll discuss this pastime. So there, Arjuna's various names are narrated, and they describe his illustrious activities. So Kiriti, so he had a celestial diadem, a crown which he would wear on his head, and it was presented by the devtas to him. It's very special. Then one of his name is Shvetavahan. Shvetavahan is his horses, which were his vahan, were shveta, were white in complexion. So Bibhatsu is one who fights fairly, and at the same time is also fierce. Vijaya is one who is victorious. Then Partha, of course, the son of Prutha. Savyasachi, one who can fight with both arms, with equal expertise, ambidextrous, as it is said in English. Then Dhananjaya, one who is the conqueror of wealth. Gudakesha, one who has conquered over sleep. Kapidvaja, Parantapa, Gandiva. Kapidvaja is one who has Hanuman, monkey, as his flag. Parantapa is one who actually destroys his enemies, chastises and defeats his enemies. Gandivi, who is the carrier of Gandiva. So this is, Krishna has many names. Sometimes his devotees also have many names. And this is an extraordinary name of the eminent devotee of Krishna, that is Arjuna. So Arjuna here in the Mahabharata has his entry into the world with the celebration of the devatas. And Arjuna is born, actually before his birth, Kunti and her husband Pandu perform austerities, and they ask that, actually let the greatest of the gods, Indra, the king of the gods, he is considered to be among the administrative gods, so let him give us a son, and we should purify ourselves. They perform austerity, and then as the expansion of Indra, Arjuna is born. And just as among all the gods, Indra shines supreme, Similarly, among all the, not just the Pandavas, but among all the warriors on the earth, it is Arjuna who shines supreme. So there are Maharathis, there are Atirathis, and in the whole Kurukshetra war, in fact, he is the only Ati Maharathi. So he's a peerless warrior. And now, of course, in different places, the specific meanings of these words, Maharathi and Atirathi, they are given. But the important point is that irrespective of the specific quantification for describing this, the important point is that his glories were unique in terms of his military skills, especially his archery skills. Now, significantly, he was very powerful even in his general using other weapons also, but he was outstanding, unparalleled in archery. So now Arjuna is, as I said, the celebration, jubilant. The demigods blow trumpets and there are celebratory sounds when he eventually takes birth. After Pandu and Kunti perform austerities, then Indra comes and gives a child to Kunti, and then eventually after the pregnancy, he is born. So after he takes birth, he along with the other four Pandavas, they return to the kingdom of Hastinapur, where Bhishma is now taking care, and Dhritarashtra is the caretaker king, and Bhishma is actually looking after all the administration. And there, when eventually they enter into Drona's academy, so Arjuna outshines everyone else. And he doesn't outshine because of his natural talent, but he also outshines because of his extraordinary dedication, far more than that of anyone else. So in general, people think that talent is what is critical, and some people say, oh, I have talent, I don't have talent. Yes, talent is critical, but along with talent, there is, for the development of talent, so much work is required. Otherwise, one cannot become expert in anything. So although Arjuna had extraordinary talent, but he worked tirelessly. You know, once he was having food in his Gurukul, and there was a lantern burning over there, and suddenly a sudden gust of wind caused the lantern to get extinguished, and his hand unerringly went to the food, and he said it kept eating the food. And Arjuna was so absorbed in thinking about archery and how he could become a better archer that it suddenly struck him that if I can eat food in the dark, then why can't I shoot arrows in the dark? At that time he would practice all day, but when night would come, he would think that now it's dark, how can I shoot arrows? How can I practice archery? But he thought, just as I can shoot, then I can fight archery also. And then from that time, he started using sound as a means for detecting the presence of target, detecting the movement of targets, and shooting arrows. And that way he could shoot even when there was darkness all around him. So shooting at targets that are invisible is a formidable accomplishment. And shooting at them accurately is even more difficult, but Arjuna became accomplished in that. So, nahi suptasi simhasya pravishanti mukhe mrugaha. That although the lion is the king of the forest, that doesn't mean that the deer will just gladly come into the mouth of the lion. The lion has to chase after deer. Similarly, even if we are like lions, in the sense that lion has strength as a natural gift, we may also have some talents as a natural gift, but then we have to work. And even if we don't have extraordinary talents, still by working, we can improve whatever we have. So Arjuna is celebrated as the greatest archer, but we should not forget his tireless work in improving and perfecting his skill. And as Arjuna became the champion archer, he won the heart of his teacher, not just because of his talent, but also because of his dedication. And we discussed some of the tests which Arjuna was subjected to by Drona, and how he came out with flying colors. Drona pretended to be caught by a crocodile, and all the other students panicked, but Arjuna carefully, immediately shot an arrow carefully ensuring that Drona was not injured, but the crocodile was killed, and Drona became pleased by that. And then Arjuna led the Pandavas eventually in getting a Guru Dakshina for Dronacharya. That Guru Dakshina was to have Drupada as a captive. And although Drupada's army was formidable, just the five Pandavas went and they just overpowered completely. And Drupada was arrested and brought. And Dronacharya was extremely satisfied to seeing the skill of the Pandavas and especially of Arjuna. So Arjuna was the intermediate among the five Pandavas. He was the youngest among the sons of Kunti. And among the five, he was intermediate. But in terms of talent and in terms of archery skill, he was unparalleled. So he, of course, shone in the martial exhibition which Drona had conducted also till Karna came along. And then there was a dispute. Karna equaled Drona's performance, although Karna initially said that I will excel whatever Arjuna has done. But when the actual time for exhibition came, Karna was able to equal whatever Arjuna had done. And Karna and Arjuna wanted a face-to-face contest. Both wanted it, but somehow at that time the sun set and that didn't take place. So from that time, one of the defining threads of the, or the defining relationships in terms of antipathetic relationships, opposite relationships, like inimical relationships, is between Arjuna and Karna. So Yudhishthir is the king, he's Dharmaraj, and from the opposite side, Duryodhana is the king. But the primary animosity is not between Yudhishthir and Duryodhana. It is there between Duryodhana, between Bhima and Duryodhana. So similarly, Arjuna is the formidable warrior and their primary enmity is between Karna and Arjuna. So that rivalry comes up surfacing again and again throughout the Mahabharata. So now if we keep it track, you know, who is better? Was Arjuna better or Karna better? So if we have a scorecard and we have a match, so then at the martial exhibition, Arjuna and Karna, both of them equal each other. So the score would be Arjuna 0, Karna 0. Then when the Pandavas went to defeat Drupada, before that, the Kauravas had gone, because this was the Dakshina which they had to, which Drona had to be given. And the Kauravas, they wanted to show that we can do something. Although in terms of talent and skills, they had been outshone by Arjuna. But they thought we will win the war. And it went along. And at that time, Karna also went along, because by that time, they had become, Karna and Duryodhana had become close friends. So they went, but they were surprised and overwhelmed by the strength of Drupada's army. So at that time, the 100 Kauravas with Karna fought against Drupada, and Drupada defeated them. And the 5 Pandavas went and they defeated Drupada. So by inference, we can see that the person whom Drupada defeated, person who defeated Karna was defeated by Arjuna. That means Arjuna turns out as superior to Karna. So here we have the score, Arjuna 1, Karna 0. So then we also have the next incident. The Pandavas came back to the kingdom, and then when the enthronement was to be done, at that time, because Yudhishthira was much more popular, so Yudhishthira was declared as the prince regent, and Duryodhana could not tolerate this, and he conspired to have the Pandavas sent to Varanavart and burnt over there. So there the Pandavas escaped, we discussed. And while they were going through the forest, there were many obstacles they faced. One of the obstacles was the demon Hidimba. Apart from that, there was also, and the obstacles can come from many sources. You know, we can have obstacles coming from humans. We can have obstacles coming from people who are lower than the humans, like the Rakshasas, in terms of consciousness. And we can have obstacles coming from people who are higher than humans. So Bhima faced the obstacle Hidimba. And the Pandavas are so expert that whatever obstacles they faced, they actually converted them into opportunities. So of course Bhima killed Hidimba, but then Hidimbi was attracted to him, and through the union of Bhima and Hidimbi, Ghatotkach was born. And Ghatotkach was one of the most powerful warriors in the Kurukshetra war, and he played a decisive role, a very significant role in helping Arjuna, and we'll discuss that when that time comes. So in the Kurukshetra war. Now, as the Pandavas went forward, they were going by, they just came to close to a river. The Pandavas have been almost like exiled, not by official sentence, but the palace where they were staying, it was burned and they were supposed to be dead. And they were fleeing to stay discreet. So now they had no possessions, no guards. And they're just going along, and suddenly a roaring voice said, "Stop! You humans are not allowed to come in this area. For at the night, this is a place meant for the sporting of the Yakshas, Gandharvas and other higher beings. Only in the first part of the night, the twilight, can the humans go by here. Stop and go away from here." And as the Pandavas were stopped, Arjuna, he had a torch with him. And he raised it, and suddenly they saw that there was some effulgent figure came and just flew up into the sky and then descended on a chariot, and that is a big bow in his hand. And that person says, "I am the Gandharva Angarparana, and I am a king of the Gandharvas, and you are not allowed to come here. Get out of here." So he said, so the Pandava said, "You know, we have want to cross this river, and we are traveling at night, and we have to cross right now." And they said, "What is this idea of proprietorship? This is the earth, and nature does not belong to anyone. So kindly allow us to go." Now, Pandavas were humble, but still they were firm. Angarparna was intoxicated. And he said, "Either allow you, either flee, or I will destroy you." And the Pandavas did not relent. Suddenly, he started shooting arrows. Now, with the Pandavas, that same Kunti was there. They are not married till now. So Kunti is still there. And he shot arrows. Now, as he shot, with blinding speed, he shot 100 arrows. And now, the Pandavas, they did not have any weapons right now. So what they did is, he had this torch, and he just moved the torch with blinding speed. And just by that torch, he repelled Angarpada. Angarpada was shocked and started shooting more arrows. And Arjuna repelled. He says, "Oh, powerful one, you know that you are a higher being and you can attack the humans. Humans cannot counter you. But you are being atrocious and therefore you will be countered. And I will use a weapon which is celestial." He says, "This is given to me by Drona, who was given it by Agnivesha, who was given to it by Brihaspati, and like that, this weapon is coming down from the gods." And he says, "I will use this weapon and I will overpower you." And saying this, as the Gandharva was preparing to shoot further arrows, Arjuna actually used his torch itself. He did not have a bow and arrow. He used the torch itself and he shot the arrow. He infused it with mantras. So now, when we talk about celestial weapons, how would the celestial weapons act? Actually, they would act by the power of Krishna, of the power of the devatas or of Krishna. And normally, they would use an arrow to be discharged. But the power that came to them was not because of the arrows. The power was because of the invocation of the higher devatas and their particular weapons. So that power was discharged through the medium of a arrow, but it was not necessary. So in this case, Arjuna invoked that weapon and he discharged it without an arrow. And that weapon was just blazing and blinding and just went and hit Angarpada. It was knocked out, his chariot was burned and he fell unconscious on the verge of practically death. And Arjuna went there and caught him, grabbed, arrested him and brought him in front of Yudhishthir. And as he just looking groggy, slowly came back to consciousness. So at that time, a celestially beautiful damsel appeared over there. And she raised her hand and she says, I am Kumbhinakshi and I am the wife of Gangarpurana. I beg you, please forgive him. Please release him. So he's unnecessarily haughty. So as he came back to consciousness, Yudhishthira said, you know, who will attack or kill a person who is having no weapons, who has lost his senses, who is barely conscious and who is being protected by his wife, whose life is being requested to be spared by a woman? So he said, go away and do not obstruct others like this. And then Angarpan, he humbly looked at Yudhishthira and he said, thank you. And he turned towards Arjuna and he said, your power is formidable. So, please, Allah, thank you for saving my life. And I would like to offer you something in return. So, he said that, actually, your feat in burning my chariot and knocking me down is so extraordinary. Because my chariot was so beautiful, I was known as Chitraratha. But now, because my chariot has been burned down, I will accept the name Dagdharatha. I'll be known. This is your glory. And he said, I would like to give you a special knowledge called Chakshushi. And by this knowledge, you'll be able to see far more than humans. In fact, you'll be able to see even at a distance. And this is the knowledge that differentiates, makes Gandharvas from humans, making them superior. And he said, I would like to also give you some special weapons. So Arjuna said, no, I don't want any charity from you. And if you are giving it to me because I spared your life, no. Actually, it is my duty. The king told me that he should spare your life and that's why I am doing it. So the Gandharva smiled and he said, no, do not think of this as a payment. Think of it as a fair exchange. And he said, I would like to learn the knowledge of discharging the celestial weapon which you have and I will give this knowledge in return. And actually the Gandharva was quite humbled. And one sense, here also to some extent, his godly nature disposition is shown. Sometimes if a warrior is defeated, the warrior may feel humiliated. And because of that humiliation, that warrior may just blast out, blaze out. But he did not do anything like that. So he very humbly agreed to offer his respects and then have some reciprocations. And eventually, when the exchanges took place, and then he said that actually, normally, Gandharva will not be defeated by a human. But because you were practicing the vow of celibacy, so at that time, the Pandavas were not yet married. So, except for Bhima, who had married Idimbi. So, because of that, you were able to overpower me. And of course, you have archery skills and celestial knowledge of celestial weapons. And then he said, also he gave one more advice. He says, king should always be advised by a priest. And the more qualified and elevated the priest, the greater will be the fortunes of the king. Therefore, seek a priest out immediately. And then he suggested the name of Dhaumya. And then soon afterwards, the Pandavas went and they met Dhaumya. Dhaumya was Vaishnava. He saw that they had Vaishnava marks on his body. And he saw that the Pandavas also had Vaishnava marks. So he was pleased. When the Pandavas requested, he accepted. So, this is in the forest, one of the first exhibitions of Arjuna's prowess. And then, as the Pandavas were going through the forest, then eventually they came to the abode of Drupada, that is Panchala Raj. And there, Draupadi Swayambar was there, and there was Arjuna's glorious moment where Arjuna won the hand of Draupadi, proving his superiority over all the other warriors. None of the other warriors could win the hand of Draupadi. Most of the warriors couldn't even lift up the bow. Those few who were able to lift, they were not able to thread it. So normally the bow is kept like this, so a thread has to be pressed from here to there, and for that the bow has to be bent slightly. That requires strength, so they were not able to thread it. And even those who were able to thread it, even if they shot, No, they are short, were not able to go anywhere near the target. Even for those who went near the target, it still missed the target. So here, Karna also came forward. Now, when Karna came forward like this, it was inadvisable thing to do, because Karna's parentage was always suspect, although he had been given honor by Duryodhana and he had the position of a king. People did not always accept him as a Kshatriya, and therefore, as he kept marching forward to participate. Now, what exactly happened? There are different versions. Because the Mahabharata is a very old book, and because it's such a giant book that sometimes there are multiple writings which are there, which vary slightly. These are called recensions. So this may happen because of just the human element of error. At that time, there were no printing presses, so you could not Xerox copy or print it. So sometimes while transcribing, some errors could come up. And basically, for various factors like the recensions that are there. And the recensions, we have to look at it carefully. So Madhvacharya in the Mahabharata Tatparinaya says that actually when Karna came, he competed. And even when he competed and he missed the target, he came very close to hitting the target, but he missed it. He came the closest among all the others, but still he missed. And that is what is also told in the Mahabharata Tatparinirnaya. So that's what Madhvacharya has written. And this is also what is said in the critical edition of the Mahabharata. A critical edition of a book is the edition that scholars prepare based on looking at various manuscripts that are available and then looking at the variations that are there in the different manuscripts and then trying to arrive at a conclusion which was the original manuscript. What was said in the original document? And they try to arrive at it through a process of inference. Okay, this seems to be right. This doesn't seem to be right. This is unlikely. And then it's an elaborate process. And of course, it cannot always be reliable. But often it comes to a reasonable approximation of what the original may have been. And the sort of inductive method, these are scholarly methods, they can be used as long as they don't contradict what we have learned from the traditional sources, that is the parampara. So, both from a traditional perspective, which is Mahabharata Tatparinirnaya, Madhvacharya, and from the academic perspective, basically, it is said that Karna competed and he lost because he did not hit the target. But in any popular renditions of the Ramayana, of the Mahabharata, it is often said that Karna was not allowed to compete. As he was coming forward, he stopped. He said, Draupadi said that, I will not marry the son of a Suta. And therefore, he would not be allowed to compete. Now, he felt mortified by this. Humiliated, laughed in humiliation, and he came back. This is how it is depicted. Now, this may seem to be like a caste slur. But the important point is that it is a Swayamvar of Draupadi. The Swayamvar means, the very name indicates, her own choice. So now she might set up some criteria as a guide for making the choice. But the first and foremost point of a Swayamvar is that it's her choice. So her choosing is the overriding factor. And if she doesn't want to choose a particular competitor, that is her freedom. So, you know, mixing this with other issues which are not really so important, that is not the point. You know, actually, the convention at that time was there would be marriage within the caste. So a Brahmana would marry Brahmani, a Kshatriya would marry a Kshatrani. And this was not just so because of there was some restriction in marriages. But that's how the compatible matches were most likely, because people have certain dispositions. So if a Kshatriya man marries a woman who has a Brahmanical disposition, then that woman will not be able to serve as a king, as a king's wife properly. She will not be able to do queenly duties. And similarly, if a man has a if a either way, whatever. There's a mismatch. A man is a Shudra and a wife is a Kshatrani. Things will be a mess. Now again, when we're talking about these castes, it is not by birth, it is by qualities. So even from the point of view of qualities, it's important that there is compatibility. And often, if the person is born in a particular family, that could be one predictor of his qualities. Now, in the Mahabharata time only, the caste system had become solidified, fossilized, and not in the positive sense, in a negative sense. So, Krishna also talks about it, sakale neha mahata yogo nashtah parantapa, that by the power of time, sakale neha mahata, that things have gone down, things have become degraded. So, Yudhishthira also says that, actually, originally when there were no caste marriage, or the primary parameter for determining is behavior, when he talks with various learned conversations that are there, especially with Nahusha, when Yudhishthira has. So, this is what he mentions. So the important point is that here Draupadi was basically following the broad social convention that she is a Kshatrani and she is expected to marry a Kshatriya. So she, if and moreover, it's her Swayamvar, and in the Swayamvar she has to choose a bride. So now actually Karna, certainly he was hurt over here, and he must have felt humiliated. But the point is that it was his presumptuousness in assuming that he would be allowed to compete and in not checking whether he would be allowed to compete or not. That's what caused the wound for him. So, rather than seeing this as a insult that was done to him by Draupadi, he could have seen it more as a recognition that that in this particular situation, I have to act with more caution. It's always easy to blame others, and by blaming others to exempt ourselves of what we could have done to avoid situation becoming so bad. So, you know, every world situation has its own quirks. You know, no world is perfect. So we have to live in an imperfect world, and we have to live in such a way that we make things better for us, not worse for ourselves. And in general, we live more compatibly, not more disharmoniously. So now, after that, Arjuna has to compete. Arjuna, because now all the Kshatriyas failed. So then Arjuna got up. And now according to some versions of the Mahabharata said that Arjuna asked permission. He said, this is a swayamvar for Kshatriyas, is a Brahmana allowed to compete? And then Draupada looked curiously. So this Brahmana's body was well formed and he had actually the elegance of a Kshatriya himself. So he said, yes, the Brahmanas are actually superior to the Kshatriyas, and surely a Brahmana can compete. And Arjuna marched up to the dais, and just in one smooth motion, he picked up the bow and he strang it. He got up. He actually, before that, he circumambulated the bow and offered his respects, and then strang it, picked it up, and a single fluid motion just shot the arrow, and it went and hit the target. And Draupadi was won. It was a majestic victory for Arjuna. Of course, he was in disguise and nobody came to know about it, that he was Arjuna. So then Draupadi came and offered the garland, and all the kings erupted in anger. At that time, the kings were headed by Karjuna and, by Karna and Shalya. So there was a face-off between Bhima and Shalya, and Bhima eventually bested Shalya. The face-off between Karna and Arjuna. And Karna initially fought short arrows lightly, but Arjuna countered all of them. And with such strength and skill and speed, Karna was stunned. And he shot back. And he said, Arjuna countered all of them. And he said, who are you? Arjuna refused to reveal his identity. And eventually, Karna desisted from fighting. He said, the military power of a Kshatriya is always lower to the spiritual power of a Brahmana. And here also there was a face-off between Arjuna and Karna, and basically it came out equal. So the score still remains as it was from the previous challenge. It is Arjuna 1, Karna 0. And here Arjuna 1, Draupadi. And it was in this Draupadi Swayamvar incident that the first meeting between Arjuna and Krishna happened. And that lifelong friendship would be forged thereafter. How things happened thereafter we will discuss in our next session.